right. All right. Turn with me in your Bibles again to Hebrews chapter 11. And then just hold your place there in Hebrews chapter 11. And then flip over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. All right. We'll be reading Hebrews 11:32, and then Isaiah 11 verses 1 through 10. And if you're able to stand in honor of reading God's word, please stand with me as we read his word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. And so there we see that time would fail me to tell of, and today we're going to be talking about David, as we have the last two times that I've been preaching here. And so Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Now remember, Jesse was David's father. Okay, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Who is that branch that's going to grow out of the roots of that stem of Jesse? Who is that branch? Okay. The Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we're going to learn more about that today. All right. And so then verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. We're talking about that sevenfold Spirit of Christ. And verse 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with a rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand into the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Please remain standing for prayer. Dear God, we thank thee for this scripture that tells us about, is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, being of the lineage of David. And not only a prophecy of his first coming, but a prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled of his second coming, a coming that will come after Christ comes to take up his church to be with him in heaven, but then he will physically, literally come upon this earth in a second coming and usher in a 1,000-year reign here on this earth that will be a peaceful reign with him in authority that demonstrates to us that there's always been enough for everybody in the world. Many people claim that there's not enough, and yet, dear God, we honor thee and worship thee and understand that you are the great provider, you're the great sustainer, And there is enough to go around and for even way more people than we have now. And so you care about us, and how it would be so much better if people would care for one another and recognize thy bounty. We pray that thou would, we also continue to pray that thou would provide a pastor for us. And in the meantime, we continue to preach and teach thy word. And we pray, dear God, that each one of us individually will win the battle that's raging in our lives, that thou would have victory in our lives, that we can have peace with thee as an individual and as a family. And then as we join together and worship before thee, peace as a church. And dear God, we trust in thee and wait for thy provision. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. All right. So the series is Cloud of Witnesses. When I was young, chapter 11 was kind of an exciting chapter of Hebrews 11, of all these heroes of the faith. And before I got saved, I wanted to be a hero of the faith. I wanted to do great things for God. And I wanted to be like Daniel and David, you know, Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and Samson, and also like David. But in particular, Samuel was my hero. I thought that, just to be able to know what God wanted me to do, that would be wonderful. Now, of course, I wasn't saved, and there's many people who want to do God's service, and they're not saved. And you know, the wonderful thing in this chapter 11 of Hebrews 11, it does tell us in verse 6 that, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. He's talking about God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, firstly, that God is, and secondly, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I believe that God rewarded me in that I was diligently seeking him, even though I was lost. But one thing I did, I did believe that God created heaven and earth, and he created me. And so I believe that first thing in verse 6, I believe that God is. And then I believe that God was a rewarder of them that diligently sought him. So I was seeking him, not knowing that I didn't, not knowing that I wasn't saved. I thought I was a Christian because I memorized scripture and I went to church. But that doesn't make a Christian. What makes a Christian is you have repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And only the Holy Spirit of God can reveal that to you as an individual, as he did to me. And so when you call out to God, believing that God has made heaven and earth and made you and all that is in the heavens and in the earth, and that coming before him and requesting that he show himself to you, he will. And he will show that to you through his written word, part of the written word. Now, Lord willing, I'm planning to go into this in more detail when we talk about Samuel, because that's the next one. Yeah, David, and then Samuel. So I'd like to share my testimony when we get to that one. But just giving you a little preview there. All right. So what happened to me when I got saved, it was the realization that night when I got saved, I recognized, now I get it. It's not what these men had done, men and women, had done for God. It's what God had done for them. And they were looking forward to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. Amen. And that's what this last point here, so this is part number 3. And we've gone through 4 points over the previous Sundays, the last 2 Sundays, is that David was a man after God's own heart. And so I don't want to review all that, but that's what we discussed. The eyes of the Lord are going through and fro throughout the whole world to show himself strong on behalf of those that whose heart is perfect toward him. And so, lo and behold, David was a man after God's own heart when he was yet a young person, just a young person. And his dad didn't even, remember how his dad didn't even think that he would be the next anointed king? Like when Samuel asked, okay, where is your sons? I'm going to be anointing one of your sons. Well, here's my eldest son. Surely it's the eldest son. No, it's not him. And so then went through all 7 sons, and then there's the 8th one. He says, yeah, there is one more He's out there tending the sheep. Well, go bring him. Bring David. And lo and behold, David was the one that was anointed to be king in Israel. All right, okay. So a man after God's own heart. And so actually when he was anointed then, the second point was he's a man upon whom the Spirit of the Lord came. And that's what happened when he was anointed. And we talked about walking in the Spirit and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And so the third point that we learned is that David was a man who feared God rather than man. And so we can think of others. We think of Daniel. Daniel's friends there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they told King Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel chapter 3 and 16, Daniel 3 and 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, you know what happened to those boys? They got thrown into the fiery furnace. It was so hot that the men that threw them in, they died. The men that threw them in, they died because the heat was so intense. And yet, when King Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, he says, how come I see three men walking? And we actually four men, and one is like unto the Son of Man. And sure enough, Son of Man or Son of God? Like the Son of God. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. God was there to protect them, even in that fiery furnace. And it's interesting, yesterday at the funeral, the one son said about his father, he said, his father said, if God is able to take care of you, and if he's not able, if he doesn't take care of you, you're going to die. And as a believer, you'll be in heaven. He's taking care of you. So I thought that was interesting. And it's true. So anyway, so we see that with Daniel's friends there in the fiery furnace, that they are like David. David was a man who feared God rather than man. And we talked about Goliath, remember? He wasn't afraid of, I shouldn't say that he wasn't afraid of Goliath. Probably was some fear there, but he trusted God more. Okay, isn't that wonderful? He trusted God. So he's a man who feared God rather than man. So here's Goliath, 9 or 10 feet tall, in depending how what cubit you go by. And he had said, is there not a cause? And so we knew other people that said a similar thing. In Acts chapter, this is just kind of review here, but Acts chapter 5, verse 29. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so they were very respectful of the authorities, but when it came to them being told, you cannot preach the gospel, they said, well, that is what we do. That is who we are. We're preachers of the gospel. And so we have to obey God rather than men. So very good to be respectful of the authorities and certainly work within that realm to and then the fourth point that we saw was a very sad part about David's life. So David had successes as there he was able to kill Goliath and win the victory for the Israel that at that time. And then he reigned as a king, and he was a successful king in many respects. But then when he became complacent, and this is a warning to believers here, don't think it can't happen to you. If you play with fire, you'll get burned. Don't be playing with fire. But the wonderful thing about David, although he was a sinful man, he was forgiven. And so we talked about horrible consequences. This whole thing about him murdering a woman's husband because he had committed adultery with her and he was trying to hide his sin. Be sure your sins will find you out. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that's what he'll also reap. And so a very sad day in David's life. To this very day, the world blasphemes God because of David. And that was prophesied by Nathan, Nathan the prophet in 2 Samuel 12, 14, talks about, Nathan had come to David and told this story about a man who had taken away another man's little sheep that he had raised up. And this rich man came and took away that little sheep and he killed it for himself there. And so then David was angry. And in verse 5 of 2 Samuel 12, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." And Nathan said unto David, "Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had not, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and thou hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." David said unto Nathan, isn't that wonderful? Did David start blaming other people? No. David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." God knew his heart. And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." Now we know more about this story in the Psalms. And David is writing about how he was so not only remorseful. See, remorse you can be remorseful, but are you repentant? He was also repentant. And so now Nathan said to David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that was born unto thee shall surely die." So the enemies of the Lord were given great occasion to blaspheme. David had given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. And to this very day, and I mentioned to you how in 2010, 12 years ago, in the Winter Games in Vancouver, that they sang that terrible song. Now, don't confuse this with Handel's Messiah. Handel's Messiah is a really good song. The Hallelujah Chorus is a part of that song, Hallelujah Chorus. But there's a terrible Hallelujah song by Leonard Cohen that is pure blasphemy against God because of what David did. And so there's even churches that play that song. They put different words to it, but they use the same tune. It's a terrible, terrible, disgusting thing. But the point I'm making is that his sin, there were consequences in this lifetime. Consequences for this in this lifetime. But Consequences can be for this lifetime, but forgiveness is forever. Okay. Isn't that wonderful that forgiveness is forever? So even though people blaspheme, they might even blaspheme you because you're weak. Sometimes you fail. Christians do commit sin. But what we do need to do is make that right, come back before the Lord and confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, those were the 4 points there that we've already discussed. A man after God's own heart, a man upon whom the Spirit of the Lord came, a man who feared God rather than man, and a sinful man, but forgiven. And the last point is that the glory of David is not David at all, but the glory is Jesus Christ. And so we find, and we had just touched on that in 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 through 5, how that God made an everlasting covenant with David. Well, how could... there's no human figure in David's lineage that could fulfill that everlasting covenant other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who was not just a mere human being. He was God in the flesh, and he is also a son of David. He is the king above all kings who will reign forever and ever. And so David, the glory of David is not of David alone. It is not of David. It is the glory of Jesus Christ. And so that's when I got saved. That's what it was just overwhelmed me that, okay, all these heroes of the faith, they were looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew that the sacrifices, all those sacrifices were not, it was a horrible thing to be shedding all that blood, right? And all those sacrifices and all the detail of law, and they knew. See, that was the whole point. They always knew that they couldn't keep the law. They were looking forward. They knew that there was a Redeemer, there was a Deliverer that would come, that they could look unto, and even at that time, that's what they did. They go, okay, well, we see how the law is so good, but we can't fulfill it. All we can do is look and live. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and live. And that is what repentance toward God and faith toward Lord Jesus Christ is all about. It's nothing that we can do. Now, of course, verse that I learned when I got saved that I hadn't memorized prior to that was these three verses, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not saved by your goodness. Now, the next verse that I hadn't learned till much later fits for believers. Once you've trusted Christ for salvation and are saved, well then, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What does foreordain mean? That he forces you to do that? Foreordain means that he foreknows. He knows the future. He knows what your response will be, and he has already prepared the way for his foreknowledge. He doesn't force people to get saved. He'll bring all kinds of compelling evidence along the way, and many people do get saved, but many people just harden their hearts, and they will not, and he will not force. He provides salvation. Salvation is available to all. Now, so the glory is Jesus Christ. All glory to him. And so we'll take a look at how 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different people. Boy, that seems like it's too long, right? Words would fail me to tell you of David and how his life brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll just go and do what we can. Luke, here's something we just were talking about not that long ago. Luke tells us, Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And that's a prophecy fulfilled from Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. And then verse 11, the angel said unto the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So from the lineage, through the lineage of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. All glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Luke chapter 3, verse 31. And then it's going through this lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was the son of Meliah, which was the son of Menan, which was the son of Mattatha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. So the Lord Jesus Christ was in that lineage of King David. And then Luke chapter 18, verse 38-39. And he cried, this is, it came to pass in verse 35, came to pass that as the Lord Jesus Christ was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Yesterday we went, there was a blind man there. I didn't know he couldn't see. And so when we came in, it almost looked like he was ignoring us, but he couldn't see us. And then we started talking. Wondering who these people are. So the other people that were there let him know. So blind people. And they told him, because hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Why would he had been taught that the Savior would come through the line of David. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So where's the glory there? Is it David? No, it's recognition that it's the Savior that comes through David. But the glory is all of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the one that was able to heal. And Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. Immediately he received his sight. Glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, the son of David. All right. That's Luke. Luke telling us that Luke telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ, son of David, is the one that all glory is given to. Acts chapter 2, verse 25. And Acts chapter 2, interesting, Luke wrote the book of Luke and he wrote the book of Acts. And the book of Luke and the book of Acts make up 27.5% of the New Testament. So it's the most of any one author in the New Testament. When I say author, I mean writer. God is the author of the Bible. The holy men of God that wrote the Bible were the writers, God being the author. And so the one that wrote the most in the New Testament was Luke. And so here in Acts chapter 2, verse 25, it's talking about, now, here's the Apostle Peter talking to the men of Israel. And so what I'm wanting to say here is that here's Peter giving glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to his fellow Jewish people there in Israel. Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, that's verse 22. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. And so, and then continues on, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, his body, saw no corruption. Well, now let's take a look at verse 34. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And so here we see that David spoke prophetically. Last time, if you recall, we talked about all the Psalms, majority of the Psalms written by David, and many of them prophetic of the coming Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 25. Acts chapter 4 and verse 25. We can start in verse 24. And these verses are actually the verses for the week, verse 25 and 26. But starting in verse 24, and when they heard, what had happened was Peter and John had been imprisoned for preaching the word of God, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. In verse 24, and when they heard it, so that's the other believers heard it, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, now isn't this interesting? Let's do that together, shall we? If you've got that, Acts 4, verse 24, and we'll start reading where it says, Lord, thou art God. Okay, so let's try and do that in unison. Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in it, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Amen. All right, so that comes out of Psalm chapter 2. Oh, doesn't that send chills up your spine? That was in Acts chapter 2. That was 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, they're quoting something that had happened, like, what, it was 1,500 years before? I'm not sure. I'm just escaping me right now, the time, but quite a few years before. David saying, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Imagine. You know that word, that song, Imagine, that's going around? It's quite popular. It's been popular for 20 years, but at least
Maybe close to 50 years, but
has been popularized quite recently, and it's getting stronger leverage, because it's imagine a world without God, imagine a world without religion, imagine, yeah, okay, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. That's from Psalm chapter 2. Quite exciting, because today we're seeing something very similar with globalization. Kings of the earth are taking counsel together. All right. So, the church. So first we see Luke talking about this. Then we see Peter, the Apostle Peter, talking about. Then we see the church in one accord. I can just see them. You know, they had memorized a lot of scripture. A lot of the scripture was memorized because people were a little more advanced than we are today. We're losing our ability to think more and more as we have computers and different things. So that's interesting. A lot more of that memorization. All right. So the head deacon there, Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, in verse 45, he makes reference to David in verse 45, just before the Jews stoned him. He himself being a Jew, and Jesus Christ being a Jew. Okay, so yes, okay, it's a Jewish religion, and that we thank God for. And unfortunately, many Jews do not trust the God of the Bible. They have not looked unto him and been saved. And so, verse 45. Now, verse 44, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus. And that's reference to Joshua, but Joshua was a type of Christ, and I think it's fitting that it's translated here Jesus. It's referring to Joshua, but Joshua being a type of Christ who had delivered his people and was bringing them into the promised land, that being symbolic of Christ delivering us from the bondage of sin and bondage of Egypt, and bringing us into the Christian walk, walking by the Spirit, and so walking in the Spirit. So brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Remember, because David was a man of the sword. He could not build. God did not allow him to build the temple. And so here's Stephen referring back to David to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul in Acts chapter 13. Paul in Acts 13, starting verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of his people, of this people, of Israel, chose your fathers, or our fathers, and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges. Remember we talked about judges? Remember Gideon and Barak and Jephthah and Deborah? We talked about judges in these cloud of witnesses. Verse 20, and after he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet, oh, Lord willing, talk about him next time. No, maybe not, because we're not going to finish this time. Oh, boy. Well, that's okay. We're just bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ through David, what David had done. All right. And afterward, verse 21, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. Remember, God wanted to be the king of Israel, but Israel rejected God as being their king. And so he told Samuel, you go ahead, anoint a king. Samuel didn't want to. But go ahead, anoint a king. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me from being their king. Isn't that a terrible thing to be said about anybody, that they reject their creator from being their king? And so God gave them what they wanted. You know, if you insist that God give you what you want, after you get what you want, you may regret it. So be very careful. It's wonderful to pray according to God's will. And so, verse 22, and when he had removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And you know what? I think we'll just leave it there, because we won't be able to get all of this. But the bottom line, and we will refer back to Isaiah chapter 11. And remember, we talked about chapter 11 quite a few times when we were going through Revelation. It's thrilling. Chapter 11 is got a, in those first 10 verses, covers a lot of ground, all the way from David, all the way through Christ coming as a sacrifice lamb, all the way to the thousand-year reign of Christ here on earth. And where, Jesus Christ, of course, when he came and died for our sins, he fulfilled, for example, the Sabbath rest. He is our Sabbath rest. That's why we don't sacrifice lambs anymore. That's why we don't recognize the last day of the week, which is the Sabbath. Sunday is not the Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week. It is the resurrection day. It's where we celebrate the resurrection, where the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ, becomes a Sabbath rest for anyone who believes. And so, so that's what verse 10 in Isaiah 11 says. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand as an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And so, resting in Christ, we see that in Leviticus chapter 23 and Hebrews chapter 4. Resting in Christ. When you're saved, when you trust Christ for salvation, then in Hebrews chapter 4 it says, you cease from the works of the law. Does that mean that you become like wicked? No. It means that you're not worried, that you're not, like a couple came to me and they wanted to know, like they asked me, invited me to their home. They wanted to know, we were just wondering, like, what if we sinned today and Jesus Christ would come back and we didn't ask forgiveness for that sin? Like, would we not go to heaven? And I said, well, it doesn't depend on what you do, but what you, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, if you believe that he is your Savior, well, then you would go to heaven. It's not based on your works. Well, they said, well, no, thank you. No, we're trusting in our water baptism in our church. That's what's going to get us to heaven. So no, they, isn't that something? There's an elderly people in Kelowna telling me that directly to my face. No, we will not trust Christ for salvation. We do believe that our water baptism is going to save us and our good works. So we'll go and find somebody else to console us. You know, like, what if we sinned and didn't ask God at the last moment? You know, we die. I guess, no, they weren't asking about Jesus coming back. They were asking, what if we died? Because they were elderly and they were worried about dying and having unconfessed sin. When you trust Christ for salvation, Jesus Christ died for your... He died. Christ, God demonstrated, he commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the sins of the whole world. Your sins past, present, future. The gift to receive is to receive that salvation. He's paid for the sin. But you will not receive forgiveness for that sin if you will not receive him. If you will not repent toward God, that means turn from your way. When I got saved, I was depending on my own. I wanted to be great. I wanted to do great things for God as a young person. That is no salvation. I turned from that and I trusted wholly, looking unto God. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. Look and be saved, not do and be saved. Once you're saved, God will give you the power through his Holy Spirit to do what is right, because then you will come, you will face difficult times. Things get tough when you're saved. You'll face difficult persecution, whatever. But like those fellows that went to the fire furnace, or like David standing before Goliath, God will give you the strength and the power to do what is right. That's what's so tremendous about trusting Christ for salvation. All right. Don't be like those folks that just like boldly told me, no. Oh, and not only that, but a fellow that I went to that I'd gone to high school with, he was dying of cancer. And I went and I shared the same thing. He says, no, he says, I can't do that. I'm trusting in what my church teaches and what my church tells me, all these good things that I've done. And he was showing me all the things that, oh, the things of this world that he had done were very amazing. His whole place and his whole family looked like a Norman Rockwell painting. It was really, really quite endearing. It was, and I said, no, that's not salvation. You're not going to get saved based on that. You need to be forgiven. And he said, no, I can't do that. I'm going to hang on to my works. I'm going to stand before God and say that all his yard, how neat his yard was and how well behaved his children and grandchildren were. They were. I tell you, it looked wonderful. He thought that was going to save his soul. And he rejected salvation for that. A gift is received. It's easily. You know how easy it is to receive a gift? Very easy. Except for my pride, right?
Amen.
Even to this day, as a believer, when somebody gives me a gift, I just sense, I feel like I have to give something in return. Well, then it would disqualify the gift.
That's right.
Some of you know here have been giving me gifts, and I really appreciate it. And it's so hard that pride wells up and says, well, I got to give something in return. And it's nice to give stuff in return, but nice to give stuff as a gift too. So I pray that I can give stuff as a gift too. But isn't that something, how the pride wells up? That's what happened the night that I got saved. I was fighting with my pride. All right, I've gone over. But just, Lord willing, we'll see more of how David's life brought glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's glorious, because we're going to get into Revelation, right? Some of you will remember how that all fits in. All right. You know, okay, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we pray that thou would help us to continue to learn from thee and from thy word. Help us, dear God, those little things in our life each day that are important for us to win. Thy Holy Spirit convicts us of these little things in our life that can grow and get bigger. David is an example of how not to do some things. He's a good example of how to do many things, but certainly, let's not be, we're trusting thee, dear God, and we thank thee for thy Holy Spirit that actually does that. Wow, you give us the strength to do, like we can lose our job, we can lose many things, we can lose many things of this world for doing the right thing, dear God. And we can do it peacefully and happily because we trust in thee. Dear God, we thank thee for all thy goodness. And this example of David, but more so the pointing, how it points to the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, ascended on high, and we look forward to his soon return. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.